At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Thank you to Lola Blankets and Cash App for sponsoring this episode.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
Jordan Wolf is a mother, business professional, victim advocate, and survivor of domestic violence from Iowa. After growing up in a small town and dreaming of becoming a teacher, Jordan set out to create a life for herself post-high school. However, her trajectory changed when she began dating her husband-to-be. Over the years of their marriage, Jordan would become a victim to an escalating pattern of coercion, control, and violence. The violence would rise to an unprecedented level in October of 2022, when the man who promised to love and stick by her side kidnapped her and abused her for 11 days. His October 17, 2022 arrest offered her immediate safety, but the legal battles that ensued afterwards signified the beginning of a whole new journey for Jordan. Her experiences led her to become a victim advocate and to fight for legal change for domestic violence victims everywhere. The Broken Cycle Media team is extremely grateful for Jordan's time, energy, and advocacy in the following episodes and beyond.
My name is Jordan Wolf. I was born and raised in Iowa, small town, about 1,000 people. Lived here forever, never left Iowa as far as living situation goes. And I married and divorced a complete and total narcissist that was physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially abusive. I am here today to tell my story and maybe hopefully help somebody for seeing the signs early on in a relationship so that they don't find themselves at 40 plus years old trying to get out and trying to survive. My loved ones would definitely describe me as bubbly, outgoing, loud, very opinionated, no filter to speak of. I've always been very family oriented and I've always been very strong-willed, level-headed. I describe myself as somebody that tries to make everybody be part of the conversation, get people that are sitting by themselves to join in. I'm definitely a people person. I am very much a child of the 80s. My parents got together when they were in high school, started dating, got engaged, got married at 18, had me when they were 20, and just celebrated their 46th wedding anniversary. They are disgustingly in love, still ass slaps and booby grabs whenever you get the chance. That's the kind of love that I grew up wanting and thinking was very much normal. They argued, but they worked through their problems. I'm the oldest of three. I kind of took that as my lifeline, and this is what I'm supposed to do. We are all very tight-knit, obnoxiously close. We are huggers and kissers. Goodbyes at holidays take 45 minutes because everybody's got to hug, tell them that they love each other. And that's how my parents were raised. Both of their parents were still married. No subject was off the table when it came to my family, my extended family. And that's all I ever wanted, was to find a partner that I thought could give that to me, raise our children in a very open and loving and kind home. I think we're a very funny family. We use humor to get through absolutely anything and everything. Being in a small town, I wanted somebody with those values, those simple life expectancies of house, job, kids. I've never been one that was like, I need to travel. I need to go here. I want to climb this mountain. I want to go on this whitewater rafting trip. I'm not that adventure seeker. To me, it was very much just create this life, live this life, hold hands on a front porch while you're in your rocking chair. But I always had these dreams of being independent and being able to take care of myself. A man to me was somebody to help love me and support me. And in turn, I would do the same thing, but it was never like, I need a man. In high school, I did date, and my dad was very much like, nope, he's not going to cut the mustard. We'll never see him again. He knew that it was going to take somebody pretty special to be able to go toe to toe with me and make me want to be with them and know their value. And it was definitely a learning curve in high school, seeing these boys and realizing what made me want to continue a relationship with them. And nobody ever really did that in high school. I met my husband when he was 15 and I was 16. I was dating one of his best friends, and they would come and they would hang out at our house on the weekends. We would go out and drink beer, because that's what you do in Iowa, find a gravel road and a cooler and take off. I talked to him about the girls that he was dating. He talked to me about the guys that I was dating. We really formed a friendship first. I knew his family background. He knew my parents, knew my siblings, got along really well with them. Chris is very quiet, shy, and reserved. It wouldn't be until maybe he'd get a couple drinks in him that he might actually start talking or contributing to a conversation. I'm very much the conversation starter, get everybody involved, and he would kind of sit back and observe. He came from a family of divorce, not good relationships with his siblings. There's six kids in the family. He was the fifth of six. So we were polar opposites in every regard. But he was somebody that always listened to me when I talked. I held his opinion very high, and he always interjected his thoughts at the right moment, which I always really appreciated by him. He might not say a lot, but what he did say was very deep and thoughtful. And it really just started out as just a friendship. We respected and we appreciated and loved each other as friends. And that's how the first 4 years of Chris and I started. And it wasn't until 4 years later that we actually started dating. From an early age, I wanted to be a school teacher. I wanted to help shape and form young kids. I went through high school very much focused on that. I got early acceptance into an elementary ed program at a college here in Iowa. I was at 18, ready to set a course to make all of my dreams come true and do everything that I had ever wanted. I think as a younger girl growing up in a small town, I did have these ideas of what I wanted and what I wanted my life to look like. That always involved me being self-sufficient. My freshman year of college, I had come home for the summer. I had just spent my first year 2.5 hours away from my family, the town that I knew and was absolutely high on life. Came home and we actually went to Chris's graduation party from high school. My mom, my dad, and me went to his graduation party. And when we left, I said to my mom, I was like, when did he get hot? My mom kind of laughed and she was like, honey, he's always been adorable. What are you talking about? I'm like, I've never seen him so sure of himself. He had done this personality shift. I was like, that's definitely something I can get on board with. We hung out that summer and went our separate ways. He went to college. I went back to school. It wasn't until Christmas break I came home and there was a dance up at the local bar. I got dressed up, had a friend call me and ask if we were going to go up there. And I said, yes. And he's like, okay, well, do you care if we come to your parents' house, have a couple drinks before we go up? And I said, well, who's we? And he mentions Chris. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, you guys should totally come. So that night they came over, we all went up to the bar together and hung out. And then that night came back to my parents' house and had our first kiss. Christmas break was 3 weeks long and we spent a total of 18 hours apart. It was very intense right away. He told me he loved me, I think within the first week, and was planning our wedding and our kids and our life together, asking me all the questions that I really wanted somebody to ask me to get to know me. He very much fueled that fire and that intensity. When Christmas break ended and we went back to our respective colleges, we were about an hour and a half away from one another. So it wasn't like a quick drive. I didn't have a car at college to be able to just take off and go. This is pre-cell phones. It was landlines only. So we would just have phone conversations that lasted hours and hours, or fall asleep while we're on the phone and wake up and they're still on the other line. It made the whole relationship feel very close. We trusted one another when it came to, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm going, this is who I'll be with. The weekdays we had to spend apart, and then he would come up on the weekends and either pick me up and take me back to his dorm room, or we'd stay up in mine. We kind of played house from the jump. It was sleeping in the same bed, cooking each other meals, going out to eat. It made the dating experience kind of leap further than what it would have if it was just in the same town, casually dating, see each other here and there. From the very beginning, the relationship was very much defined. You are my boyfriend. I am your girlfriend. We are soulmates. And the longer that it continued, I might miss two classes. He might pick me up on Wednesday night and I might skip my classes on Thursday. By the end of that spring semester, we had decided that I was no longer going to be a teacher. I was going to drop out of university. I was going to move to his town and start school there, get an apartment, and we were going to take this to the next level.
Thank you again to Lola Blankets for sponsoring this episode. Being a homebody means that all my favorite things are comfy girl items, fun decor, household appliances that make my life easier, and anything that makes me want to stay put on the couch are at the top of my must-have list. And the number one item that every home needs, a Lola blanket. Lola is the world's number one blanket, made with the softest, most luxurious faux fur that everyone instantly obsesses over the second they touch it. And the best thing about it is that it's machine washable and built to last for years, making it a truly meaningful long-term gift. Lola has truly become my go-to, I have no idea what to get them gift, because it's one of those things people instantly fall in love with the second they feel it. I've given it to loved ones for new baby announcements, get well gifts, housewarming gifts. It truly is the perfect present for any occasion. And it always gets that immediate, oh my God, reaction, because people don't expect a blanket to feel this good. And once someone receives their first Lola blanket, it's inevitable. They're going to start paying the love forward and gifting them to everyone they know too. That's because Lola isn't just a blanket. It's a home upgrade gift. And for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola Blanket products with code WCN at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code WCN. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that What Came Next sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets.
My parents, when I approached them about dropping out of college, moving to a different town, getting an apartment with somebody that I had been dating for 6 months at 19, they didn't have a whole lot to say about it. They just wanted to be that support system. And they were like, if this is what you want, then we are here for it. You're an adult. We love you and we'll support you no matter what. They were 20 years old when they had me. They remembered growing up and being young. They understood it and they knew that it was probably going to happen. And it was like, just be honest about everything. And I think a lot of my friends were like, okay, Dawn and Tim are very much our parents that we can go to, bounce ideas off of, talk to them about the hard things. And I think my parents were very much that for Chris. You walk into our house and it was all of us in the living room watching a show, laughing together. It was very much a comfort and a safe space for a lot of kids, including him. And I think the idea of being with somebody that had such a direct relationship with family and that closeness and everything that every child ever wants was appealing to him. It was just another thing that he loved about me. He very much embraced that close-knit family. And I think my parents and my siblings very much welcomed him with open arms. It snowballed into my dad getting him a job, him working with my dad, him working with my brother. I thought, this is great. Not only does he have a relationship with me, but he's forming those bonds with other men in my life that I love and respect, and they love and respect him. So it just added to the attraction that I had and felt for him. We moved to our apartment in August. He started back at his second year of school, and I had started at a new college. We just did the make supper together, take a shower together, go to bed together, wake up together, and it felt very warm and natural. I thought it might be weird living with a boy and letting him see all my little idiosyncrasies that I have and all these little weird things that I do. And it wasn't. It was very normal and very natural. It wasn't until about 6 months in, we were at a party and I had two girls come up to me and made comment how cool that they thought it was that I was there. I was like, well, it's a party. Like, why wouldn't I be here? And they're like, well, Chris hooked up with so-and-so and it's her party and you're here. He hooked up with her a few weeks ago and that's very big of you. I lost my absolute shit. I went running around the party trying to find him, finally found him outside with a couple of guys. And I was like, you fucking cheated on me. I gave up everything and this is how you repay me. He grabbed me by the arm and he dragged me around the side of the building. He put his hands around my throat and slammed me up against a brick wall and just proceeded to tell me that everybody was so jealous of our love. They were just going to try to make things up, try to tear us apart. He would never do that to me. I was his whole world. I was his everything. He spun it into this narrative of like, how dare I believe people after everything that he had done for me, all the trust that we had built, that I could just throw it away on the word of two girls. I was like, so you're saying this is not true? And he gives me this whole story about how it's not. Then the anger started to build over the fact that I had even thought that it could be a possibility. He started to try to drag me down into this little ravine that was alongside the building. I threw my arm up and I got away from him and I borrowed a phone, called one of my girlfriends that I was in school with, and she came and picked me up. I went and I stayed at her house for the night. The next day when I went back to the apartment, of course, he was incredibly remorseful. I was drunk. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I was so upset. I believed him. I believed that it was too much alcohol, that he was genuinely sorry for what he had done and that he wouldn't do it again. I put all of my thoughts that I had always thought my entire life of, if a man ever lays his hands on me, I'll just leave right away, and let all of that go out the window. And everything went back to normal and we continued on. That was the first time that I had seen that side of him. It wasn't the last, but it was quite a while before I ever saw it again. He was always incredibly possessive and jealous. What I could wear, who I could hang out with. It was every aspect of my life. When I graduated from college, where I could work, what I could do, I went to cosmetology school. So I was doing hair and I wasn't allowed to do male clients. If we went out together and a guy started talking to me or anything like that, he was not one to shy away from a bar fight. It was, men have this idea of you. They only want one thing from you. I very much started to diminish my personality when we were in public. The accusations of infidelity and things like that were very much always there. He always thought that I was cheating on him. He would break up with me and say he needed a space because this was just too intense. He would go about his business for a week and then come back begging for me to take him back, which of course I always did. And it was very much like that the first few years before we got married. It was 4 years into the relationship and we started talking about marriage. We went ring shopping, bought the ring, took it home, put it in my grandma's safe so that he could surprise me with a proposal at his time. Finally, he had been gone on a work trip and he came home and sat the ring down on the kitchen counter. He's like, well, I guess this is what you want. So you plan it and I'll make sure that I'm there. Not the fairy tale that most girls imagine when they're getting engaged, but we had a 3-month engagement, got married in December, and then found out in February of 2006 that we were pregnant with our first son. And very excited, over the moon. Then had our oldest. Everything was great. Life was perfect. Found out we were pregnant with our second son about 11 months later. And I was getting ready to leave for a work trip. It was out of town for a weekend or 3 or 4 days, something like that. He got really, really angry with me leaving, going with my boss, who was also a female that I had been friends with for my entire life. He started calling her a whore and said that she was easy and that she was going to basically pimp me out in order to make her business better or to make connections. We were standing upstairs in our house talking. He got really, really angry and he grabbed me by the shirt and he just shoved me. I went flying down a flight of stairs, 6 months pregnant with our second son. That was really the first time since our very first encounter that he had put hands on me. He comes rushing down the stair steps and is so apologetic, so sorry. And I just looked at him and I said, this isn't about just me. This is about our fucking child. You seriously could have hurt me and him. He just starts in about how frustrated and angry he gets about my boss. We both know what she's like. And the idea of me being alone with her for this amount of time was too much for him. We finished up supper and I left the next day to go on this work trip. He made me text him every single night a picture of me in bed by the alarm clock so that he could see what time it was. He would call me wanting to know what was going on. He'd make me leave my phone in my pocket so he could hear the conversations and make sure that I wasn't flirting. He had no trust or faith that I was going to stay loyal to him or be faithful.
Thank you again to Cash App for sponsoring this episode. In the day and age where we all have so many options for everything, I've often wondered why I stick with my old boring bank account for most purchases. At a certain point, it just seemed that there has to be a better way to make my money work for me. That's where Cash App comes in. Cash App can do way more than you think to make your money work for you. If you direct deposit at least $300 in paychecks each month and use the Cash App card for purchases, you can earn interest on your savings. No hidden fees, no minimum balance requirements. Also, you can hit your savings goals even faster by turning on roundups on your Cash App card. With roundups, every purchase you make using the card is rounded up to the nearest dollar. And that spare change is automatically put into your savings. Don't let your money sit around and gather dust. Make it work for you. Take advantage of interest savings on Cash App today. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CASHAPP10 in their profile at signup and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App Bank Partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa Debit Flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank N.A., pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton Prepaid Card, Sutton Debit Flex Card, and Bancorp Debit Flex Card. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposits, roundups, overdraft coverage, and discounts provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures.
After I got back from that trip, the rest of the pregnancy was breezy. I got induced. Our second son ended up being born via emergency C-section. He had a prolapsed umbilical cord, and when they finally realized that something was wrong, he had been without oxygen for about 8 minutes. He got airlifted to a hospital for treatment immediately. I was at another hospital and needed to be taken by ambulance to the new hospital. Chris came into the room and he's like, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to let the dogs out. I had just woken up from anesthesia and I'm like, you're leaving me? Our son's in a helicopter being medevaced to another hospital. I'm getting ready to leave by ambulance and have just been cut open. And you think the dogs need to be let out? And he's like, well, yeah, we can't forget about the dogs. And he got in his vehicle and he left the hospital. And I went to the hospital to be with my son. He was there in the hospital for 11 days. They were very not optimistic that things would be good, but everything turned out amazingly. And he's phenomenal and every bit of a sarcastic asshole as his mother. And he's just perfect. But his sleep patterns sucked when he was a baby. And Chris worked nights and he would call me and scream at me for an hour on his lunch break about how lazy or awful I am. It became this thing where I could count on it at 9 o'clock when he took lunch that I was going to be in for it for the next hour. I got to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. And I told my mom, I think I want a divorce. I think I want to leave. And she's like, well, you know, you're always welcome here. He was going to go on a snowmobile trip for a week with his buddies, and I was going to be at home with the boys. And I made up my mind that I was going to pack all of our stuff up as soon as he left, and we were going to go to my mom's, and I was going to file for divorce. We all ended up getting the stomach flu and were sick for about a week. So, two adults and two kids, two bathrooms, and a whole lot of mess. We got closer while he got sick. He was sweet because, of course, he needed me to take care of him. And all of those voices in your brain that are telling you to run, I muted those and I stayed. Things got really good for several years before they started to turn again. We would have whole stretches of years, 5 years, 6 years that would go on. It would go back to the controlling. It was what we ate, what groceries I bought, what we did on the weekends, what friends we hung out with. Where I worked was always big on him and key in the atmosphere that I was going to every day. I did a lot of job hopping until I found a job with a company that I really, really loved. He respected it. He liked the perks of it. The job that I started was for a livestock supply company. And so I could get deals on the things that we needed for our livestock. Having a farm was his dream. I just went along for the ride. He started getting sheep, thinking he was going to be this stay-at-home farmer. I wanted nothing to do with it. He pushed and pressured more and more to get these sheep and to have me be a part of it. This job that I had taken had been a job that he really wanted for himself. He applied, they did not hire him. And then 3 years later, I applied for essentially the same job, and they hired me on the spot. He took that incredibly personally. He was not counting on me thriving at this job or being so well liked at this job. It really became a sore spot for him that they didn't want him, but they wanted me. So it became, you only got that job because of what I've taught you. you only have this job because you're a pretty face. Oh, the bosses just think that you have nice tits. That's why they hired you. Nothing to do with me as a person or how smart or kind I am to people. It was always about him. He had done this. He had created this life for me. 2016 to 2018, it was a weekend occurrence where he would get really, really upset and violent. Prior to all of this, he would only get violent on special occasions, holidays, weddings, things like that. He always ruined those and he would get violent on those days, but that was just expected. But from 16 to 18, it was every weekend. And it might be something little that triggered him, but it always was something. At that point, I had two sons that were 11 and 9. It became a thing. The boys went upstairs. They got on their games. They put on their headsets. And they just knew that mom and dad were downstairs fighting. I made it a promise to myself that once my second son turned 18, that was it. I just had to get these kids raised. And in 2018, I found out I was pregnant with our third son. To say that I wasn't excited is an understatement. I know that that's an awful thing to admit, but I realized that I just signed myself up for another 18 years and brought another child into a toxic environment. It was depressing and it was lonely, but we had our third son and things got better. He was excited to have another boy. He was excited to get a do-over. We had made normal parenting mistakes with the older two because you're learning and you're young, but now we're 37 and we're going to do this different. Our youngest came. Everything was great. Everything was happy. And then COVID hit. COVID was the end of everything. COVID was home with a monster, home with somebody that is no longer the person that I knew or loved. COVID was really when I think I knew that there was no coming back from any of it. This is who he is. Now I just have to figure out how to safely get away from him and safely get my children away from him. It was really the beginning of the end. With COVID, it was 6 months for me to work from home, the boys to be out of school. And Chris worked across the street at a fertilizer facility. He was considered essential. So it was him having to come home for lunch when that was normally his alone time. And now it was me working from home on the phones, the boys running around, screaming, yelling, having fun, being normal kids. It escalated very quickly. I think throughout 2020, I went through 20 coffee pots. He would go to fill up a cup and he'd get so pissed off or frustrated over something that he'd just take it and throw it against the wall. I'm trying to work, clean coffee off of cupboards, pick up glass so my 2.5-year-old isn't walking through it. It got very volatile. It wasn't physical as far as putting hands on somebody, but it was this moment of walking on eggshells. His truck would pull in the driveway. One of our dogs would go hide underneath the bed and cower until he left. Our boys would go from laughing and playing and dancing to completely quiet and silent upstairs, completely away from him. We were very much conditioned and very knowledgeable of what the terms of living in this house were. You followed the rules. You didn't go against them. We accepted it. We knew that this was what our life was. So we all just continued to toe the line, follow his lead, and make sure that we kept the peace.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Once we went back to quote unquote normal life, things got a little bit better. We didn't have those stressors of just being confined to the farm itself. He started to kind of turn a corner with being quieter and being more understanding. I thought, oh, okay, he's really showing promise here. He knows that he can't do these things. And we talked about it. And I expressed my concerns and my fears. I told him that I never wanted to be married to somebody that scared me, but that he very much, in fact, scared me. That seemed to really resonate with him. He was very much, I know I need therapy. I know I need this. I want to work this out. This is not who I wanted to be. He showed a lot of empathy and remorse in these times. I really thought to myself, this is going to be okay. He wants this. And he would look up therapists. He wanted to do marriage counseling and wanted to really get to the bottom as to why he would react like this in these situations. I was hopeful. I really was. I thought, okay, if he can just learn what triggers him, why these things happen, maybe we can really do this. But they were all empty promises. He never called a therapist. There was always an excuse. I started to see the true Chris more and more. That sweet, compassionate, kind side was just no longer there. There was a point in January of 2022 that we had gotten into a fight. I don't even know what we were fighting really about. It was probably a regular conversation, accusing me of flirting with coworkers or having affairs with coworkers. It always had to do with me hurting him or me cheating on him, which never happened throughout our entire relationship, but he really thought that I was. I kept insisting to him that I had never cheated on him. I would never do that. He picked up a glass of ice water and threw it in my face. He threw me outside. It's January in Iowa, so it's like negative 6 degrees out. He locked the door and he stood inside of the door and just started taunting me about how cold I must be, how I wish that I would have had socks on or that I wasn't all wet. I looked at my car and he's like, don't even fucking think about it. I pulled the keys as soon as you got home. He picked up my phone and kind of shook my phone in my face like, I bet you wish you had your phone right about now. I was like, what the fuck is going on? This evil, sinister human looking at me is my husband, but is saying these vile, twisted things to me like he's getting off on the fact that I'm literally freezing to death. He let me back in the house after about 5 minutes out in the cold and told me to change my clothes. So I did. We started back in the conversation and I kept denying that I had ever cheated on him. He kept interrogating me with times, places, guys. I pleaded with him. He picked up another glass of water, threw it in my face and threw me back outside. I thought, I'm not doing this. So I took off walking in the snow, soaking wet in the middle of January. There's a little nature trail that was by our farm. And I was going to walk to my parents' house, which is 7 miles away. Started walking for what seemed like forever. All of a sudden, I see headlights coming down the nature trail, which it's a bike path, not for cars or trucks. He pulls up in his truck, tells me to get inside, and cranks the heat so that I can thaw out, takes me back home, apologizes and says, that was so stupid. I can't believe you'd risk your life just to get away from me. That's not what I intend. And I believed that he knew he took it too far. But again, I was not in a headspace to really be making decisions for myself. I was very much surviving and going along with whatever he said. Then in March of 2022, he had gotten fired from his job and was just staying at home and taking care of the animals. I was getting ready to go to work. He starts in again about me cheating on him. And I was like, I have got to go to work. I cannot have this conversation right now. Can it wait until tonight? He was like, no, take our youngest son, put him in the living room, turn on Bluey and come back out here and talk to me. I took our son in, got the TV on, put him in his pack and play, walked back out to the back porch, and he swung a golf club and hit me across the chest with it. I dropped to my knees. He proceeded to wail on me with the golf club and then got me up and started in about all these affairs that I had had. I can hear my phone ringing and notifying me that I have a text message. I'm like, I've got to answer my phone. My mom will wonder where I'm at. She babysat our youngest at that time. Work is going to wonder where I'm at. He was like, it doesn't matter, because when they get here, they're going to find you and they're going to find me. And it won't matter if you go to work. It won't matter if you talk to your mom again. I'm sick of these lies. I can't do this anymore. And I think it needs to be over. And I knew what he meant. He was going to kill me. He was going to kill himself. And that was going to be the end of it. I tried to reason with him and explain to him that I had never cheated on him, that he was my ride or die. I was loyal. I was faithful. Something in my words clicked. And he was like, fine, go to work. But you're not taking your Jeep. You don't deserve to have nice things. You can take the work truck. So I went outside and went to get in the truck, and the battery was dead. So I put it on a battery recharger and I looked outside, and there was a police officer in my driveway. Chris walked outside and greeted him and had a little bit of a conversation. And I heard the officer say, well, I need to hear that from her. So I walked outside and asked the officer what was going on. And he said that they had gotten a call for a welfare check, which later find out that it was my mom. They were just concerned because I wasn't answering my phone. I hadn't shown up for work, and they just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. I assured the officer everything was fine. I was just trying to go to work. So he helped me get the truck started. I left and I went to my job. About 15 minutes after I got there, my dad walked in, pulled me into the conference room with my manager at the time, and my dad's like, what the fuck is going on? You don't answer your phone. You are not the person that I brought into this world. Something is going on and you need to be straight with me. I said, I'm not happy. I want a divorce. He's mean. And my dad said, does he hit you? And I said, he's mean to me. My dad said, we're going to the police station. So my dad and I went to the police station. We sat down with the officers and I did not go into detail about the physical abuse. I just said he's very controlling, very jealous, very possessive. I just want their assistance to be able to pack a bag for myself and my sons and go to my parents' house. We got into the cars and we started driving. It started out with me and two officers. And as we continued the drive out to the farm, more and more officers kept coming. I started to get really nervous about what I had done and what the outcome was going to look like. We pulled into the driveway and Chris came out calm, holding our youngest son. I told him I wasn't happy. I told him I wanted a divorce with the officers in the room. I packed the bags and I went to grab our youngest. And he's like, whoa, no, 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 no. I'm okay with you leaving, but he's not going anywhere. My sons will stay with me. And I looked at the officers and they're like, we can't really make him give up his children. At this point, I had not fessed up to any of the physical abuse, nor was I ready to, even though my body covered by clothes is bruised. I had cuts from the golf club from earlier that morning. And I just said, nope, we're fine. And I got in my car and I went to my mom's house. I had a conversation with my mom and my dad, and I came clean to physical abuse. I did not go into detail of things. I didn't know if they were ready to hear a lot of it, but I did say, yes, he hits me. I said, but I have to go back. I need my sons. My mom said that she couldn't do it anymore. She couldn't take the what ifs, the wondering if I was safe or if I was dead. I told her that was fine and that I loved her and I would find my way back. And she said to me, he's fucking broken you. And I looked at her dead in the eye, which I couldn't do prior to that. And I said, he's not broken me and he will never fucking break me. And I walked out. That was March of 2022. And that was the day that he made me cut all ties to my family or anybody that actually loved me. That was radio silence then for the next 7 months. He had me all to himself. He had taken away all of my friends. He had isolated and terminated all relationships with the people that I knew had my best interests at heart. I didn't want to choose him, but for that period of my life, I knew that that was the only option.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
He really sort of started to spiral. Every single night when I got home from work, it was him screaming and yelling, breaking things and punching holes in walls, just creating an atmosphere of chaos. It all went back to affairs. It went back to me cheating on him. I knew that I was in for a long ride when it came to this, that it wasn't something he was about to drop. I just tried to reassure him that that was not who I was. He would drop it and he'd let it go, but then the next day it would be the same thing. And it wasn't until October 4th of 2022 that I saw how far he was willing to take it.
Thank you again to Lola Blankets and Cash App for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget that for a limited time, our listeners can get 40% off select Lola Blanket products with code WCN at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code WCN. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. And take advantage of interest savings on Cash App today. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAPP10 in their profile at signup and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.